Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, part 4. Nehemiah 4, part 4. Throughout the book of Nehemiah, we find that Nehemiah is praying. And prayer involves a willingness to wait. Because God doesn't always answer our prayers immediately. In fact, He expects us to wait when we pray. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, Moses instructed the people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 18, Naomi tells her daughter-in-law to sit still until the matter is settled. In Psalm 46:10, the psalmist said, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Prayer is necessary, and it is a necessary part of the believer's life. Evangelist Tom Palmer writes, "Busy people don't just find time to pray, they make time. Prayer was such a priority in the life of Jesus that he was willing to sacrifice desperately needed sleep to get up a great while before day to pray. The value of a quiet time. Time in which we can be alone with the Lord. The value of a quiet place where you won't be disturbed. It could be in your car as you're driving. It could be in one of the rooms in your home. Or even at work if you can find a quiet place. The value of a quiet heart. A quiet heart. Tom Palmer writes, "If one allows himself to live out of touch with God, there will be significant inconveniences and consequences." He says that if we are not with the Lord, but we are too busy for Him, it drains our physical energy. It dulls our thought process. It destroys our personal relationship. It deteriorates our spiritual devotion. It depresses our effectiveness for the Lord and the Lord's work. The need for prayer, a time of getting alone, praying, asking that the Lord will direct and guide. The book of Nehemiah now, chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse 11. Nehemiah 4 and verse 11. "And our adversary said, 'They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease.' And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, 'From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you.' Therefore said I, in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, 'Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses.'" May I stop there for just a moment? In today's world where so many people have just given up on living spiritual lives, it will have a bad effect on your family. We must stand true for our family and the cause of God. Verse 15, "And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and shields and the bows and the habergeons and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for Nehemiah. We thank you for this book that tells us of this exciting time in the life of the Jewish people. And Lord, we thank you for those that were willing to work, that they counted the cost and were willing to pay it. And Lord, may we in this day be willing to put our hand to the tasks that the job can be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. And we will continue reading now at verse 19. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In that place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, we had part 1, the ridicule. In part 2, verses 7 through 9, there was the intimidating plots. In part 3, verse 10, there was discouragement. And now in verses 11 through 23, part 4, there is fear. We're going to learn a little bit about fear. When Charles Spurgeon started his church magazine in 1865, he borrowed the title from Nehemiah and called the publication The Sword and the Trowel. He said it was a record of combat with sin and labor for the Lord. Again and again in the New Testament, we are encouraged to do battle because we are in a spiritual battle with the enemy. It is not enough to build the wall, one has said. We must also guard lest the enemy take it from us. Building and battling are both a part of the Christian life if we are faithful disciples of the Lord. Building and battling. Jude wrote saying that we should earnestly contend for the faith. Paul wrote that we should put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand for the truth of the Word of God. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 14? Luke 14, if you would, please. Luke chapter 14, and we'll begin reading at verse 28. Luke 14 and verse 28. And Jesus said, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he had laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. counting the cost and being willing to pay the price. How important it is that we realize that sacrifice is part of the Christian walk. And there is time that it will cost us dearly, but if we are doing it for the Lord, it is well worth it. The Jews who lived outside the city of Jerusalem kept bringing the report that the enemy was planning a surprise attack. I've often wondered if World War II was being fought today with all the cell phones, would there ever have been the secret of D-Day? I mean, it was an amazing coup that the Allies were able to make the Germans think they were coming another direction. But they were willing to can do that for the battle. Whether these Jews were merely spreading rumors or were helping to promote the conspiracy, we don't know. Conspiracy theories are prevalent today about the COVID-19 and also the issues about the black man that was killed there in Minnesota. There's all kinds of thoughts and conspiracy things. 10 times the report came, and according to verse 11, caused the work to cease. Satan's desire is to get the work to stop. He wants churches to take their eyes off what is important and put it on things that are not important. The job is to send forth the gospel. And it's amazing how many are against the Christian faith because we are told to take the story. We are told to propagate, and we are to spread the word. Nehemiah did not at first respond, was probably praying for God's response. I came across this thought about the first inaugural address on March 4th of 1933 of President Franklin Roosevelt. And he said to a nation in the grip of an economic depression, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And we do know that fear can create a situation where nothing is being done. He may have borrowed the thought from Henry David Thoreau, the American naturalist, who wrote in his journal on September 7th, 1851, "Nothing so much to be feared as fear." Why? Because fear paralyzes, and fear is contagious and thus paralyzes others. A number of years ago, my wife and I and Brian and Matthew were in the Upper Peninsula, and lo and behold, when we went to church, we ran into someone that we knew from Covenant years before. And that night when we went back to the evening service, they invited us over for some refreshments following the evening service. And when we got there, the man of the house and I went out on some different all-terrain vehicles. Now, I'm sure he took the four-wheeler and gave me the three-wheeler because the fact is that the four-wheeler is much more comfortable. But I remember as I was going on the path and as I went to turn, the ATV didn't, and I went right off the side and landed in a tree. Now, that may sound incredible that I didn't have any major damage done to me, but the rest of the time I was riding that ATV, I was paralyzed with fear. And we came to a hill where we had to drop down quite a distance, and I thought to myself, I'll never make it down. And I remember praying and saying, Lord, you've got to get me down this hill. And sure enough, the next thing I knew, I was at the bottom of the hill. You know, fear can and just grip us so that we don't want to do something. And we know that Nehemiah had to fight the people from getting so fearful that they just gave up the task. Warren Wiersbe writes, fear and faith cannot live together. Fear and faith. We have put on our church sign a number of times that fear knocked, faith answered, and nobody was there. putting our hand to the plow and allowing the Lord to direct is the best thing that we can do. Moses said to his officers, "What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart." Because fear can spread. But step one, Nehemiah posted guards. At the most conspicuous and vulnerable places on the wall, Nehemiah positioned the guards. Now, we're not talking men who had battle experience. We're talking about people, in many cases, that had simply come with him and were going to build the wall, and now they are pressed into being willing to carry swords and spears. The enemy could see that the Jews were prepared to fight. Nehemiah had armed entire families, knowing that they would stand together and encourage one another. The Jews not only repaired the walls near their own homes, but they stood with their families to protect their homes and their city. So he posted guards. Number two, he encouraged the people to look to the Lord. In verse 14, we find, "Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible." So we encourage the Lord. When we face uncertainty, we must look to our Lord for strength and encouragement as well as guidance. Uncertainty comes. And when it does, we need to turn to the Lord. Verse 15 tells us that when the enemy learned that Jerusalem was armed and ready, they backed off. God had frustrated their plot. It reminds me of the story of Elijah, 2 Kings chapter 6, if you would. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 18. "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such a place shall be my camp.' And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down.' And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, 'Will ye not show me which of you is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.'" The Lord was getting the job done. Here again, the Lord had spoiled the plot of the enemies of those Jews that were wanting to build the city. At step three, we find a defense plan. He knew he could not interrupt the work every time he heard a new rumor. So he set a defense plan that solved the problem. They find in verse 16, back in Nehemiah chapter 4, that these people had spears and shields and bows and habergeons. And have you ever worn a habergeon? Well, you say, well, what exactly is it? Well, it's a short medieval jacket of mail. Probably not something that most of us have in our closet. But if you're going to battle, it can be very useful. So Nehemiah saw to it that the people were carrying materials, also carried weapons, and the workers on the wall had their swords. In this way, the work could be done without interruption, and the workers would be ready in case of an alarm that was sounded. For the trumpet man was with Nehemiah in case there was need for men to get to a certain point on the wall. The people were prepared to fight. Now, today, we're not going to put on helmet and a coat of mail and that type of armor. But we are in a spiritual battle. The enemy is coming against us. His desire is to sidetrack the church. And many churches today have gotten in their minds that, well, as long as we preach Jesus, it doesn't matter the lifestyle of those who are attending. But that is not true. See, we need to realize the Word of God was given to us for a purpose. And we are told to put on the whole armor of God so that we can do battle against the wiles of the devil and be prepared to do spiritual battle. The people were prepared to fight, and they believed that their Lord fought with them, and he alone would give them the victory. And I'm going to say this, the Lord will give us the victory if we are willing to stand for him spiritually. And then step number four was a second shift, that in the night they may be a guard to us. Matthew 13:25 says, but while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. So we can't be spiritually asleep. We must be spiritually awake, realizing that the enemy is there. And Satan is our enemy. He is alive and well. He is the deceiver of the world. He is a liar, and he wants to bring us down. As individuals, as families, as churches, even as nations. And this nation that was based on good biblical thought is in danger of collapsing because we are going to take away the one thing that made us great, our desire to be spiritually strong. In conclusion, there is a song that has the phrase, listen for the trumpet. When the men were working, they were also listening. If the trumpet blew, they realized that they would have to go to physical warfare. Well, I believe this is that we need to realize that when the trumpet blows, our Lord could be calling us home. Wouldn't it be great if he could say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You remained faithful through thick and thin. You got the job done. Dr. Alan Redpath explained why the Jews succeeded in getting their work done and keeping at the same time the enemy at bay. He said the people had a mind to work. Verse 6. A mind, the right mindset. They realized there was a job to do, and they didn't say, let someone else do it. They were willing to work. I know that in the building of the two buildings here at the 11455 Canal Road, the work was done by those who were willing to get the job done. Now, yes, they did pay for certain things to be done, but a lot of the work was done voluntarily. And men and women blessed the ministry of the Covenant Baptist Church because they had a mind to work. There was a time when we would have visitation effort on Monday night that there would be 10, 12, 15 people that would come out for visitation. Even at this later time when I was working here at the church, there were those who were willing to sacrificially come out and to go and to make visits because there was a mind to work. There was a heart to pray. In verse 9, it says, we made our prayer unto our God. It wasn't just Nehemiah. It was the people that were involved. We made our prayer unto God. I believe that prayer is a necessity for a church. I believe it's important that we pray as individuals, but I believe we need to pray together, collectively, asking the Lord to bless. We find in verse 9, there was an eye to watch. They set a watch against them day and night. They were watching. Folks, we need to be on guard spiritually today. We need to realize that Satan is coming against us in many different aspects, from television, the internet, and what people are able to do and see on their cell phones. We need to be on guard. And they had an ear to hear. They were willing to listen both to Nehemiah as he gave encouragement, but they were listening for the sound of the trumpet. And this gave them the victory. In closing, would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and to that great verse, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. And Paul, writing there to the church at Corinth, says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work. That's what Nehemiah had with the group of people there. They were steadfast, they were unmovable, and they worked. And what they had then is what we need today, men and women who are steadfast, they're unmovable, and they are working for the cause of the Lord. And the verse says, "For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." May I say this? What we need in 2020 is men and women who are willing to be used of the Lord. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for these verses that we are able to read. And as we draw encouragement from these men and women who stood the test, they were steadfast, unmovable, and they were ready for the work. May those who come behind us say the same thing, that we were steadfast, unmovable, ready for the work. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.